Good morning. It's truly a privilege to be back here, it's certainly the Lord's will, I'll tell you right now. And I thank God for my friend and fellow warrior, Pastor Jeff. He is a dangerous man. and a praying one, because truly our schedule, we are doing 5,000 miles in 4 weeks. And this is the tail end of it. And what he didn't tell you, I mean, Joplin, there was no way to schedule me speaking here. Goose egg. I mean, we were overbooked already. And what he failed to tell you is, after I text him from y'all's petrol, is that it? Okay. We just drove a little bit further down, and I smelt something. And our AC stopped working. You need an AC traveling around. And our overhead didn't work. And I kept trying. Then I smelled something. And then I saw a Camping World. Is that what they call it? Never been to one. It's good to know when you have a camper. Ours is a 40-foot motor coach. And I said, honey, let me just pull over. I pull over and got out, and I still smelled something. I got the service manager, a tech, and another guy to come out. I said, man, something ain't right here. And I'm not a rocket scientist, but I smell something burning. And we open up a bay door with all of our electrical stuff just in time to see spark. Little flame, big flame. And the mechanic goes, it's on fire. It's on fire. So I walked around, opened the door. I said, family, staff, please step out of the vehicle in an orderly fashion. Almost got run over. And I grabbed the fire extinguisher. There's actually a picture of it on Facebook, kind of funny. And there lies our mode of travel right here in y'all's neck of the woods, literally. So, man, the Lord wanted me here. And I guess that's the thing with trials and tribulations. If you love God, you got to believe he's in charge of it all, right? So he'll give you that peace that we sung about. So I was like, okay. So we rented a Suburban pack where we could. We went on to Chicago to do our events. And that's when we were just going to fly out of Chicago. My family did. And the car rental place said, you don't bring that back, you owe us $5,000. I said, I'll put sugar in that gas tank before I pay you $5,000. So it's not a good Christian thing to do. So I figured, well, I think I'm driving that thing back. That's when I text brother. And so I was driving all last night till I was cross-eyed, stopped up the road, drove a few more hours this morning, and I'm stoked to be here. Can I pray? Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, you're always in control no matter what. And Lord, you must love these people right here. And some you're probably going to convict pretty good. Some you're going to comfort. And all you're going to encourage, I'm sure. So we pray you bind the work of the wicked one. I pray a seamless canopy of your blood over the sanctuary. Pray you, Lord, would rebuke the devourer, the one who would lie, rob, steal, kill, destroy. And Lord, we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For those of you who didn't have your eyes closed, I saw you looking at me. I don't close my eyes when I pray. I don't really see it where, you know, they close their eyes all the time. Sometimes they're looking up. But I spent a lot of my time in juvenile prisons. That's what we did up in Chicago. We went to the infamous Cook County Juvenile Center. Y'all heard of that? Yeah. Uh-huh. And I don't close my eyes when I'm praying with them youngins. I'm like, not even one eye. I'm looking both. So we got invited to go there, and it was kind of funny because, several layers of getting through the security, the doors, the metal detectors, all that. And it's Cook County. It is the worst offenders, gang members, the most violent. They put them there. So I go in, and I said, well, okay, here we go. And the people that bring me in kind of look at me like some of y'all are. This guy's a speaker? Because I talk so fast and so exciting. It sounds like I'm on Quaaludes, but I'm not. This is me. I'm originally from Louisiana. So y'all heard of them Cajuns, huh? We're taking over. Just look at the reality TV shows. Really? You got Duck Dynasty? I know y'all was that. Swamp People? I mean, we got it all. So the thing is, my mind goes real fast, hardly never stops. But when it gets to my tongue, it's like cold molasses. It just slowly comes out. But I'm consistently slow, so that's good. So we're up in Cook County. I walk in that place. It gets a little nerve-wracking when you're dealing with kids who've lost any type of value for humanity. You know what I'm saying? And the head of the place that brought us in, I didn't know how many kids were going to be there. They gave me two sessions, and it wasn't very many kids. They kind of come in. I think there was probably 70 in one and maybe, 30 or 40 in the next. And the lady, and there's a lot of guards, a lot of big ones. I'm like, oh. And the lady said, well, we didn't bring you all the kids in here who are locked up. I said, oh, okay. She said, we handpicked the worst. So let's just see what you do. We heard all about you. I was like, actually, I just looked her back and said, well, then we're like-minded because these are my favorite. And, I fumbled and shared, and is anybody a visitor here today? Raise your hand. You have any visitors? God bless y'all. Whatever I say, don't hold against the pastor. How many of you have never heard my story? You don't know anything about me. Raise your hand. All right. Well, let me educate you a little bit. By profession, I'm a martial arts instructor. Tactical defense. I served time in the Marine Corps, and then probably done more since I've been out than when I was in. I've had the privilege of training Force Recon, Delta Force, SEAL Team Operators, and CIA. But I'm sure you can tell just looking at me. So hold a 7th-degree black belt in karate, jiu-jitsu. I got a ton of experience of working with what special projects overseas. I don't know. I never saw this coming. I'll tell you right now. My wife and I were suffering for the Lord in Hawaii. Natives out there, you got to reach them. We lived up in a rainforest. I was successful in the world standards as far as stuff or things or zeros in an account, and then the Lord called us to do this, and one step led to another. The first step was with going on staff at Focus on the Family. Dr. Dobson had the privilege to be his assistant, and then the Lord moved us into reaching marginalized, forgotten, troubled youth and abused youth, which is in youth prisons. And so here I am 10 years later. This is what we do. And giving up. I worked 8 hours a week. That was my work week in Hawaii. I had a great staff. I believe in delegation. And beach time. I love the sun. And you know what? You know what I've given up for the Lord? Nothing. Literally nothing. Yeah. People are like, oh my gosh. I just go, let's see. I was destined for hell, death and destruction and bondage to sin, blind. God saved me and now will give me an abundant life. Not necessarily an easy one. Amen? But abundant life and promise me eternity. What I'm going to do, exchange out a few years in an earthly paradise for an eternal one? No, thank you. No, thank you. So I just always like to clarify that. I haven't given up anything. He still got the raw end of the deal. So I'm standing in front of them kids. Because of my martial art background, I use it as a platform. I do some, Trust me, to me, I feel like a monkey with cymbals. But I hold the world record for the fastest gun disarm. And what that is I have a kid or a guard or whatever. I do military bases too. I have some kind of SF guy hold a pistol to my head, or I did a law enforcement convention, which was great. I'm talking about how to reach juveniles, and we're going to break, and got a big session. And one guy goes, hey, how about doing that gun thing? I'm like, I flew out here for a day. I got to head back. I didn't bring any training. We got guns. They're all law enforcement. They start pulling out. Well, I'm like, and man, some big old buck comes up with a 40 caliber. I said, could you clear that, please? And this is what I do. I have them hold the pistol to my head with the hammer back and finger on the trigger. When my hand's down, I tell them, just pull the trigger before I can get to you. And typically, what I'll do is snatch the weapon, pull the magazine out, point it back at them in 8/10 of a second. And just like that, law officer, he pulled the trigger in the air. And I had the gun back at him. And then he said all kind of flowery words. It's kind of fun. Of course, all the other law enforcement, they're laughing at him. I just kind of chuckled. But I do these demonstrations for these kids. Yesterday in Chicago, I think it was yesterday, I had a kid 8 times in 1 second. I don't know. Just God's given me a little gift for speed, and I use it to glorify him. Anyway, it gets their attention. That's the whole point. And then I shared my story, and I give them a chance to respond to the gospel. It's a very unflattering altar call because I have no music. I have no dim lights. Here it is. Here's the facts. You can accept, receive, or reject him. But Jesus said, you're for me, against me. And yesterday, when the Holy Spirit moves, it's him that does the work, right? I mean, it's crazy. He's going to do something here today using me. I don't get it. But it's him that does the work. And yesterday, 68 kids responded to Christ at Cook County. And we actually, 5 of those were staff members. They stood up too and said, yeah, I prayed. I was like, oh, you can't. It was just for kids. All right, we'll let you in. So for me, when you taste of the goodness of God and his faithfulness, everything you go through, the war for all that, it is worth it. It's not fun in it. I mean, any of you athletes or football players or tracker, any type of sports, or you go pugilistic wrestling or boxing or karate, you just whatever. When you're training, when you're doing doubles, twice a day, do you just feel all joyful inside? Are you just like, I love this. Coach, give me another lap. Is that all you got? So, and it's the same thing spiritually. When God is breaking us, molding us, putting us through fiery trials, he's saying, but I've got something. It's so good. You're going to need this training. Hang in there. Hang in there. Trust me. Who knows? He may be training you through heartbreaking trials that bring you to tears and so you can work in the toddler ministry. Luke chapter 4 is where we're going to visit today a few minutes. It was the best I could hear from the Lord and what he wanted me to share in his word. I was going to teach out of the book of Malachi. But because I can't say it right, we're going to go Luke. Luke chapter 4. If you're not a Christian and you kind of know it in your heart and you didn't really want to be here, or somebody's making you watch this or listen to it, God bless you. You're truly welcome. I'm glad that you're here. It takes a lot of courage to come in a churchy-ish environment. Although, this is pretty hip. Wow. Is this Southern California? Did y'all actually have, was there smoke coming up here earlier? I saw it in the back. I was like, we are in the Ozarks. Is this just like, and then I didn't know what that was. I still don't. That's not bingo, is it? I didn't know how y'all did part of your offering be to, or I thought if that's child care, you know, the child care numbers, I thought, y'all are serious about it. Come get your kid. Get this kid out, man. He give him some Benadryl or something. So Luke chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Let's read it. I'm reading out of a Marine Corps Bible, so let's see. I got to talk like this? No. It says, then Jesus returned from the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. Wow. Doesn't that sound spiritual? Full of the Holy Spirit. It's the Son of God. He's being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days for the reason of? Oh, to be tempted by the devil. That doesn't sound right. I thought you were loving God. Why are you going to let the devil test your son? See, Jesus here, follow the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. That's very important in our lives. Because you know what? That's how the Holy Spirit does. He leads us. Remember Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He makes me lie down. He leads me beside the still water, right? In your life, check out your life personally on a day-to-day basis, because we're here now for a short amount of time, right? Man, if we could be and feel and have this come Tuesday or Thursday or that hump day Wednesday or Saturday night for you singles, it'd feel a lot better out there, wouldn't it? Am I just, is that true? You can do that or no or. But here it is. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Sometimes when God's Spirit leads you, he'll lead you right into trouble and challenge. Why? Because he is always thinking about eternity and always wanting you to become closer to him. And oftentimes it's through these trials that we do press in to Christ. Am I right? That we look into his word, right? That we really, when I was in Hawaii, everything's good. And then I tore my hamstring out of my hip, whatever. Had to fly to Australia to have it reattached with the guy who pioneered it because the second time I did it. Yeah, to me, if a little is good, then a whole lot got to be better. Anybody else out there like that? So, yeah, I was instrumental in destroying my body training. Boom, boom, boom. And I remember I came back. I had to stay there 2 weeks, make sure the blood clot, come on back. And I'm in bed, and my heart starts hurting, and I'm like, ugh. And I told my wife, I said, I've been down too long. I got to work out. She's all, well, your legs in a cat. Yeah. I said, I got to do something. You know. And finally, it kept hurting. It was just, it almost felt like it was sandpaper in my heart. And I ended up going out to our fitness center, and I got me on a bike. And then I'm just pedaling with a messed up leg. I'm trying to hit the bag. And my heart's hurting. I'm going, you want it? Just all you got, heart. And finally, I don't think I feel good. My wife said, you don't look good. I was like, what does that mean? We went over to the doctor, ran the test, and isn't it always funny when the doctor says something you ain't expecting? She's like, I'm like, that's not what this guy here wants to hear. He wants to hear, interesting. You know what? This will, yeah, okay. She goes, well, you've got a virus that has attacked your heart. It's pericarditis. There's swelling around your heart. This fluid that's building up. And I went, so what does that mean? She goes, well, I'm going to be honest with you. Some people die. I said, oh. Like how many? Give me a percentage or something. And unfortunately, there was a virus going around in Honolulu at the time that people were dying of that. And I had got it in my weakened state, whether on the flight back or whatever, we don't know. And she goes, or they'll just stick a large needle into your, you know, surrounding fluid and aspirate it. And I said, well, give me the medicine or whatever. She goes, there is none. You just got to ride this out. So I got to wait to see if I die. Yep, kind of like that. And I remember going home, and when you know you really could die, it's interesting how you really want to look at those scriptures on the cross and eternity and Jesus, Jesus. And I was like, what did he say about salvation? I've been a Christian for years. I was like, okay, I really need to, I need to look at. It made me press in, lean in. And did I get closer to the Lord? You better believe it. You know what? I'd wish it on you. No, wait. I mean, I would do it again. I wouldn't wish it on you unless it would help you. See, every Christians, isn't one of the things the enemy uses is fear? Right? Fear is a big thing because that's the enemy. Remember, he's a bully. He's the father of lies. And were y'all ever bullied growing up in school? Number one problem in school right now, all across the country. Except these days, kids are killing themselves for it. You ever heard of a guy named Nick Vujicic? He was born without arms and legs. Me and him just did a series of outreaches and speaking over in Hawaii. We did high schools and churches, and we ended up in the Aloha Stadium. It's pretty fun. It's the largest evangelistic event in the history of Hawaii. God using us. I'm looking at him going, can you believe it? God's using this Cajun guy. And you, all this because you don't have arms and legs? That's what I told him. He goes, I know. Nick's crazy. I mean, we spoke at one of the toughest schools in Hawaii. Very tough. It's very sad how rough it is. And anyway, I did my deal first and shared my story. And then Nick shared, and he called out the bullies. He said, if someone, because 12.9% of all youth in Hawaii attempt suicide. And he asked how many kids in that school had attempted suicide with their heads down, hold a fist up, and how many attempted suicide or thought about it because of being bullied and their hands raised up. And Nick got this aggressive, I call it like a violent anger against evil. And he said, you bullies have got to stop. And although we're in a public school of several thousand, you can't use the word God, because, you know, ooh, oh my goodness, don't use God. Everybody may just start running around. Ah, they used the word. At the end, Nick said, if you know you're wrong and you've bullied people, you need to stop it today. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm like, I looked at my wife, he crazy today, he really, there ain't no bully going to stand up. Can you imagine in your school, in the gymnasium, if someone said, you stand up if you're a bully and you're going to stop doing it today. You think somebody's going to stand up? No. Over 60 bullies stood up that day. There were some that were weeping, boys and girls, because of the conviction of God's Spirit. Well, the enemy's a liar. He's a bully. He uses fear on Christians. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you guys, that's how you combat the enemy in your moment of temptation. You use the word. Let's go on and read it. That's one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. You'll know why in a second. But it says, after 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they were over, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, it's written, man must not live by bread alone. All right, so here's a tactic to the enemy. Guarantee you, he will wait for the right time to tempt you. And whatever temptation it could be, it's not always just like temptation to lust and cheat. It could be to steal, lie. It could be to fear. It could be to withdraw. It could be to feel sorry for yourself. Y'all with me? But I guarantee you, the devil will wait. Some of the most opportune times are these. I think it's called HALT. Dr. Charles Stanley, I think he used that acronym. When you're hungry. Sounds funny, but when you're hungry, right? When you're angry. When you're angry. The Bible talks about don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't let that anger go down. Don't let the sun go down on your right at night. Anger will open a crack to your soul. The enemy can come in and start whispering or yelling real loud. And you'll do things because you're angry. Oh, yeah? Guys, husbands, you want to be close with your wife? You want to experience that intimacy once a year? And she got an Excedrin PM headache? And you get mad. You're like, come on, woman. You start looking at them scriptures. You're not supposed to withhold your body. Neither am I. Let's submit to one another, you know. And you go off angry, and the enemy says, you'll know who never turned you down. Her. Or that. Or the phone. Texting or the porn. I know there's none of that here in Joplin because it's a porn-free city. Except for those billboards. That's kind of, I never get the billboards traveling through Missouri. They're real big. Hi, adult shop. There's one that says adult shop and men's spa. I don't really get that. I don't want to know, But, I mean, I don't know if you go in there and watch the porn and get your fingernails done or sit in the spa. I don't know. Kind of weird. But I tell men, look, don't you dare let the enemy use that as a vehicle, especially when you're angry. Don't let him. He may tempt you, but you do not have to fall to that. And look, I speak all over the country, everywhere. I was at the church that young lady, is it Carrie? Joe wrote that song. Sang. I was at her church Sunday. I'm all over the country. And let me tell you something. It is what the enemy is using in men's life and women too. Don't. Husbands, wives, single people, don't go for that. The enemy will trap you and bring you in bondage and no way. And look, it's not even real. It's not even real. You're looking at some type of point. If you were actually put on the set in the scene right there with the cameras, you'd freak out. You'd be like, okay, I don't want to do this. It's not real. It's not real. I got friends who, you know, former hookers were in porn. It's a horrible, miserable, sad bondage lifestyle. Accommodating with drugs and all that. We took prostitutes in off the street in Honolulu to our home. My wife and I. That's kind of fun. I remember we were witnessing the gals and giving them free memberships to our fitness center and karate. And at first they're like, you walk up to them on the street, they're like, I'm working. I go, I know. I want to give you a certificate for, you know, 6-month fully paid membership to our training center. And it was well known in Hawaii. We had a TV show. It was a big place. It was the biggest place. And they're like, you lying. What is this? Is this Christian? I said, well, it is faith-based, but it's a training center. I said, and you need self-defense, don't you, out here? She goes, yeah, you're right. I said, you got to take care of your body because that's your job. Mm-hmm. I said, well, get yourself down there and work out. I said, it's a good, safe environment. And then, you know what? We started having girls come in. And it's fun. And we're like, okay, you don't need the pumps when you got to take them. And you know the only people we had problems from? Well, it was a small group of cagging Christian women. The church ladies. And they had a little meeting with us. We believe that some of the women in the workout area are prostitutes. Me and my wife are like this, because we're certainly not announcing it. We went, well, okay. And like, they have diseases. We don't want their sweat touching. And I said, and then they gave us an ultimatum. Either you have those leave, or we're leaving. I went, oh, such a hard decision. God bless you. Because see, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And whenever a church or any type of thing becomes a bunker mentality, it's just us against them. That's not God's will. That's not God's will. We want to go after the lost. Because we were. And you know what? If you're afraid about asking somebody to come to church or listen to this or read this book, get over your fear. What's the worst thing to do? Slap you, spit on you, choke you, run over you with a car? That's Los Angeles. This is Joplin. It's a little easier. Okay? I know some of you have to contend with the spirits of religion, which in many ways are worse. I'm a Christian because I was born in Missouri. Oh, great. So I don't really use the term Christian a lot. I go, hey, so you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. That's how, you know, when I started using that, when my daughter started bringing fellows over to the house, suitors, they oh, Dad, there's a guy I want to date, and he's a Christian. I don't care about that term. That's been wilding out. So I'd meet the young man, he'd come over. Hello, I'd go, hey, so are you a follower of Jesus? I'm a Christian. That's not what I asked. Do you follow Jesus? Do you daily deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him? Because it's a hard life. It's good, but it's hard. I remember there were a bunch of guys in California. A bunch of guys, I walked in the house, and they sat on the couch. And I walked in. I never met them. And one guy wanted to go out with my daughter. And walked in. My daughter said, "Dad, that's, you know, Joe Schmo." He's sitting on my couch. He goes, "On my couch." I walked up to him and said, "Let me tell you how we do it here. When the man who owns the house, whose daughter you want to go out with, walks in, you get off his couch and you stand up and greet him with a handshake." He's all, "Oh, My daughter's all, "Dad, you always intimidate these guys. They're afraid of you." I said, "The one that's not afraid of me ain't got nothing to hide. And he'll have good intentions. He can fear me, but he ain't going to be afraid of me because he got a clear heart." Oh, sorry, that was a parent thing right there. I didn't mean to go. So here we do see the strategy of the enemy to tempt you and me when we're, what was it, hungry, angry, lonely. You get lonely. Singles, raise your hand if you're single. Look at you. Gals, it's too late for you. You'll never get married. Your egg's going to dry up. Dust balls, you're over. So just forget it. Hey, when I was single, I was a new Christian. All I wanted to do was be married. I did. I just want to be married. I want to be married. I want to be married. Because I'm a Christian now, and I want love. I want to love someone. I want to be loved. And I remember the lonely feelings, and I remember the whispers of the wicked one. "No one's ever going to love you. You're never going to get married." And then, you know, there are a couple of gals, you know, "Thus saith the Lord," they told me. God said, "I'm going to marry you." And I was like, "God, I sure was a big sinner. Is this my consequence?" And I was so sincere with the Lord. I thought, "Oh, okay, Lord." I thought I was better, but man, I shouldn't have sinned so much. And of course, it wasn't his will. When the Lord brought me my wife, I was actually up front praying for people and talking, visiting. And she walked in her first service, and I saw and I remember going, "I'll marry that one, Lord, that one." But she wasn't a Christian. Ugh. And the Bible says, "Don't be unequally yoked." I mean, you can disobey it, singles. Roll the dice. Chances are you're going to get burnt. Somebody say amen. Okay. So I wouldn't. So I waited. And I was like, and I prayed. And I prayed, "Lord, save her. Save her. Let me save her. I'm an evangelist. Let me. I want to walk her out to her car every night. You know, they'll say it, the Lord." And after a few months of her coming to church and hearing the word be taught, she came under the conviction of God's Spirit that she needed a Savior. And she gave her life to Christ. And I was like, I'm so happy. And she didn't even like me. I mean, we were friends. I was a Christian. It still took her like another year and a half, you know, of me interceding and, you know, renting my clothes and putting ashes and scaring off her old boyfriend. She actually came to the church one time, and I was, I was kind of a little lay leader. And she came in, she was looking to counsel with somebody, and nobody was available. And I go, "I'll visit with you." And she goes, "Oh, okay." We sat down and started talking. She said, I don't know. You know, I'm following the Lord, but I'm dating this guy who's a Christian, but he doesn't really act like a Christian. I mean, he's still in the party, and I don't, what do you think? And I was like, he is a spawn of Satan. He's completely demonized, and you must break up with him. Now. She's kind of like, I was right. So finally God changed her. And she started looking at me not only as a friend and a brother in the Lord who really cared about her, but she started looking at me in sweet eyes. It was when she came to one of my karate classes I was teaching. You know, and she walked in. I was like, my stretchy pants? I feel bad. I think it was sparring night. I was pummeling everybody. Third grade girls, get out of here. But listen, singles, God has you. He sees you. He knows when Valentine comes around, when the weekend's, and you're like, he knows. Trust him. Wait on him. Don't settle. Just... because God wants you to marry someone that you're absolutely going to be head over heels in love with. My wife and I just celebrated 25 years in December with 5 children. Never cheated or been cheated on. 25 years. Hey, I'm the first person in 3 generations of my family that's done that. That's why it means so much to me. My father was a drug dealer and a pimp. When he got my mom pregnant, he didn't claim me. He said, that ain't mine. My mother would go on to marry 6 times. I went to 14 schools, 17 houses. At 5 years old, I was molested and left in a commercial cooler for dead. Mendenhall, Mississippi. I was abused by male and female. I had a stepfather who ended up going to prison and escaped. And I suffered at the hands. The abuse was mental and physical. I was dunked in a tub till I passed out. I was electrocuted as a kid. I'm just being very honest with y'all. Had another stepfather that was a convicted murderer, spent time in Chino prison. My biological dad went to a mental hospital. The same mental hospital my grandfather died in. I just thought we had a timeshare there. I'm like, some of you laugh, but you know what I'm talking about. You just go, that's my lot in life. Not with Christ. The blood of Jesus breaks every yoke, every chain, every generational sin. The blood of Jesus. My other grandfather, he's the one I loved. And yet, his wife cheated on him. So he killed her. Shot her in public, right in front of everybody, then killed himself. I started doing drugs in the 6th grade. Had quite the emotional upheaval. Followed me into my adulthood. Ended up having 123 visits to a trauma specialist in 9 months. I've been on Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, lithium, Buspar. I understand that all. Pain so deep that other options seemed viable at the time. The options of a, you know, permanent answer to a temporary problem. Because no matter how bad you feel in those moments of great despair and hopelessness, if you just hang on, if you just call out to Jesus, he'll rescue you, he'll redeem you. When you're tempted to do all manner of evil, for me, I hated humanity. That's why I joined the Marine Corps. Beirut bombing happened. I went in the next day. Can I kill me some ragheads? I'm from the South. That's very prejudice. Right? It is. But I hated everybody. Didn't matter what. White, black, Chinese, Asian. I don't trust anybody. But they gave me an M16. I was like, so I can shoot people, right? I'm like, the ones we tell you. And they're like, boy, you have issues, don't you? Yes, sir. They're like, okay, come in. That was back when the Corps was really desperate for people, quite honestly. Now they're doing good. But that weapon became my way to vent my anger from 546 yards in a prone position, for those of you who shoot. 546 yards in prone position, I put 10 rounds in the able target of a man without a scope. That's why I started developing skill sets, became a competitive shooter. Then I started training people to hunt and kill people. But, you know, that's the thing. When you get tempted, you better have a counter strategy. You better know what you're doing. Just like if someone's going to attack you or break into your house or whatever, you better have a plan. Because you're going to get hit. You know, in self-defense, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. Everybody has a plan until they get hit. And it's funny. You see people get knocked around in real life situations, and you find out who got backbone and not. And you just go, who? Spiritually, the battle is far greater than anything physically you'll ever face. It's just manifested. It's just manifested in the physical. So here you see Jesus being tempted. What does he do? He goes to the Word of God. That scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I have to use that. I have to. It's my counter when the enemy whispers and says, you're just going to end up like your father or grandfather. Or whispers, you'll never be a good dad. You can't stay faithful to your wife. First person in 3 generations, you did good, but not anymore. If you start listening to the devil, he'll pull you right into this weird dialogue. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? My wife can see it when I'm coming under this. My wife will look at me. I'll be like this. She'll know I'm just in there. And she'll just go, are you negotiating with the devil? Huh? No. Yeah. And she says, stop. Use scripture. Plead the blood of Jesus. Have the Lord rebuke every demonic spirit that's coming against you right now. Do not mess around, Victor. My wife's very spiritually. She's just a meek, sweet, gentle, quiet woman. But boy, you step into the realm of spiritual warfare or messing with her kids or come after a man. She's a second-degree black belt too, so see, but we believe in warfare. If you don't have warfare in your theology, you're losing already. And you guys, I'm just here today. I'm about to end, but I'm just here today to encourage y'all. The battle's real. You can have victory. Jesus did, and he set the example for us. And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. That's why I thank God when we fall or stumble, we get back up through repentance. One of the ways the enemy can get in and mess with you or me is through unconfessed sin. Gals, you lying to your husband about stuff? Kids, teenagers, are you sneaking around? Are you doing the texting? Are you on the internet? Are you doing stuff you absolutely know you shouldn't be doing? It's sin. In the Old Testament, they would stone you. Now parents just get stoned to avoid the headache. They do in Colorado. It's legal. Do y'all know that? I went over there and spoke at a big old mega church. I mean, huge. After they passed the pot legalization, it's just kind of funny. I was like, are y'all with me? I mean, are you eating Cheetos over there? Listen, cut that out. No, they were all tuned in. But hey, you can't have unconfessed sin in your life. I think I made a Facebook post yesterday. Y'all follow me on Facebook. It's kind of fun. We're very transparent. Be one of my close 150,000 friends, please. Big Facebook hug. But I said, you know, being a carnal Christian and being okay with sin in your life that you're not repentant of and confessing and forsaking is like making a big old batch of chocolate chip cookies. It's like, yeah, all the right ingredients. And then taking a teaspoon of dog dung and mixing it in there. And then you make your little cookies, put them in the oven, they come out all fresh. And I said, looks good, smells good, but you're still eating dog dung. No matter how you say it. Some of you are going to remember that, teenagers. God's way is so much better. But it really says we got to wash our hands, purify our hearts, follow him. Let me kind of close with this. You can go on to read how Jesus consistently went back with the word against the enemy. And at the end, the enemy, the word says he waited for an opportune time. When you have victory, when you have victory in your life, you know, like, oh, don't just rest on your heels, because the enemy's going to wait for another time. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Watch it when you're tired. Watch it when your physical and mental faculties aren't processing right. You know, when you get snappy, you know, at least own it and go, this between these hours, that's not a good time for me. I need a rest or eat a Snickers or a cow, whatever, whatever you need to do. Be careful. The enemy will come and tempt you. Marriages, stay pure. Keep the bed undefiled. Husbands and wives, I need you guys. The word of God declares, God needs you to love each other. Your children need you to love each other. And I'm talking about be affectionate, tender. Guys, when was the last time you just held your hand of your woman when you're walking? Interlace them fingers. Because you know. And be close, physically, intimately. Be close, often. 8 to 12 times a week. Just be close. Women are like, I rebuke that thought right now. No, I'm telling you, it's so important that our children in this world see what real love is. Do you understand? And it's us to model it. Gals, if you have challenges from your background because of abuse or whatnot, then you know what? Tell your husband, I need to work on this. Husbands, if you have challenges with being addicted and going to the porn, sit down with your wife and tell her. I'm going to talk to you not only as a wife, I'm going to talk to you as my sister in the Lord. I'm struggling right now, and I don't want to. And you are the safest person who loves me more than anybody else. And after you wake up from being hit with the closest weapon, just say, I still trust you. My wife, I spoke at an event in Palm Springs one time, and I didn't realize it was a small group of people, and there was all sexual gender issue challenge. I mean, I didn't know. I just kind of showed up. My assistant didn't give me the notes. And anyway, afterwards, I was like, whoa, okay, this is all about sexual challenges. And I went home, but I'm telling you, something followed me. And I started struggling with my thought life, purity, and I struggled for 3 days. And it wasn't like the normal, you know, oh, good job, God. You know, it was horrible, wicked, demonic, ugh. And I didn't want to own any of it, but I felt like I was losing. Y'all with me? Okay? So I cried out to God. The third day, it was like Jonah in the belly of the whale. I can't take this anymore. God, help me. I can't do this. It's overwhelming. He said, do you really? You want relief? Yes. Go tell your wife. Lord, is there a second plan? I don't know if I'm going to be open with my wife about horrible, wicked thoughts. He said, you go to her as your sister in the Lord, confess your sin, tell her you need help, and ask her to pray for you and anoint you with oil. I was so desperate, I did it. I was like, okay. I went upstairs and said, honey, I got to talk to you. I said, no, honey, I really got to talk to you. She comes in the room. I said, honey, pray for me. Since I left that weird thing, I said, I've been under assault. I said, I'm dying here. I said, no peace. None. And I said, it's horrible, evil, demonic. What's the one? She goes, okay. I said, the Lord said you need to pray for me and anoint me with oil. She said, okay, sit down. I sat down. She went downstairs and literally brought up a big old bottle of olive oil. I was hoping for the little Israel thing. And my wife undid the cap and started pouring it on my head. Literally. She don't like to say it. She hates it. I felt like David being anointed or something. It's just dripping all over. I got scared. I was like, oh my gosh. And then she just goes, in the name of Jesus, I command every demonic force that's been assigned to my husband, you must leave. I command you by the power and authority of Christ to leave. You have no more authority. And she just boom, 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 boom. I mean, I'm sure demons are like, oh, pack our bags. We are out of here, man. This woman's crazy. And she's calling on Jesus. She really believes it. Instantly broke and never came back. Instantly broke. I was, whoa. I said, wow. What are you willing to do to forsake your sin or get freedom? Don't let fear stop you. And gals, can your husband, does his heart, can his heart trust in you that much to where you say, honey, I love you, I got you. You're a man. You're made of flesh. But let's grow spiritually. I want to help you. Overcome the wicked one. Because guess what? There's a lot of people in Joplin. There's a lot of people in this area that need to see Christ in y'all. That need to see real, living, working Christ. Not perfection, but direction, right? Not just here on Sunday morning, but there on Wednesday afternoon. At work, through tragedy, through heartache. Does that make sense? And they see you clinging and loving Christ. And they go, I want that. I had a guy come to our house, and I did not feel like a Christian that day. I needed some me time. It's all about selfies. And he's going to fix our oven. And my wife grabbed the kids and take them out. She said, oh, the guy's going to fix it. I was like, no. I don't want nobody coming. I said, too late. He'll be here in about 15 minutes. Sure enough, he came. I mean, right down to the crack in his backside. Fix your oven. Yeah, it's in there, in the kitchen. And I was just, oh. And he's doing stuff, and I got my dog, and he sees the dog in the back. Oh, nice German Shepherd. Yeah. I don't believe me. I'm anything but spirit. I'm just like a flesh, a heap. And he said, oh, yeah, I got a dog. Why do you got a dog? And I said, and I don't know where this guy goes. Man, I know it's kind of weird, but I'm going to just tell you, it looks like you got it going on. You got your kids, family pictures, and names of your kids. He said, man, my marriage is messed up bad. And I was like, I don't care. Had all the prelim to this lead you to believe I would care? That's what I'm thinking. Sorry. I'm just thinking, I don't want to miss doing all that person. And he goes, and then he started telling me how messed up it was. And I'm telling you, in 5 minutes, I wanted to cut my wrist with some noodles. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is Jerry Springer stuff on crack. I had not enough energy, and I just said this, dude, stop. I get it. But I said, I'm just going to cut to the chase, man. You get all this craziness. Let me ask you this. Have you ever come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You personally? He goes, no. He says, I pray to God sometimes. I said, I understand. I appreciate that. But have you ever repented for your sins, accepted forgiveness because of the cross, and feel the power of God in your life? He goes, no. I said, is there any reason right now that you can think of that you shouldn't? He goes, no. I said, then you need to talk to God and invite him into your life. I didn't even lead him in a prayer. I was like, you're not even getting the prayer. I said, talk to God and tell him you're sorry for what you've done and surrender your life to him. He goes, right here? Right here, man. Say it out loud. Do it. I'm witnessing. And this guy goes, God, dear God, my life's not doing good, you know. And I said, tell him you're sorry. I'm really sorry for all I've done. I've done a lot of bad stuff. And then he starts sobbing. The conviction of God's Spirit comes on him. And he feels God's Spirit is convicting and loving at the same time, isn't it? That's a quagmire right there. And this man just starts sobbing for his sin. And he feels God saying, I love you. And I'm just watching this going, okay, now this is good. You got my attention, Lord. I didn't think you were going to do this. And after this man just talked to God, he's like snot crying. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. I said, you're a baby. No, I said, I try to explain to him. Anyway, he gives life to Christ right there. Those guys are everywhere, and gals, and kids, and adults, and grandmas, and grandpas. Let y'all's church, your fellowship, your walk with the Lord be in such a way that you really are reflecting Christ. They're hurting a lost world right here. Amen? Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this morning. I thank you for each person. And God, I guess I would just start by asking, maybe there's some here today that don't know you. That's honestly, they don't know you personally. Are you drawing them, Lord? Is this the day for salvation for them? Is your Holy Spirit hovering right now, telling this individual, I love you, but you must repent from what you know is wrong. Surrender your life to me. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. I'll just say a little prayer for you. I'm not going to bring you up, nothing like that. I'm not going to take your shirt and run up the flagpole. It's just you and the Lord, but is he speaking to you this morning? If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand up real high and put it down? Anybody? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Yeah, I mean, you know, right at this moment, you know if God's speaking to you because you're probably nervous and all that. Anybody else? Lift your hand up and put it down. Say, Victor, please pray for me. I know God's speaking to me. Anyone else before we pray? God bless you. Good. This is important, y'all. This is where you get it right with the Lord. He loves you so much, and you can trust him. Anyone else? Anyone else? If you're a Christian and you say, Victor, pray for me. I've got sin that is coming to the top as you speak that I need to repent of and forsake. And I want to repent this morning, right now, and be refreshed and cleansed and have God's Spirit put in me. I want to be a light. I want to be a real light. God bless you. Raise your hand and I'll pray for y'all. God bless all of you. Good. In the back there. Anyone else? Say, Victor, that's me. Please just pray for me. And no matter what it is, God will forgive you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. I mean, sin looks different. It could be held on bitterness. It could be lying. You could have your grandmother tied up in the basement, hardly feeding her, and you need to repent for that. And let her go after Thanksgiving. That's a joke. We can joke when we pray. It's even an altar call. Anybody else? Pray for me, Victor. I need to repent for what God's showing me in my life right now. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's the last thing I'll say on that. Don't let your pride keep you from repenting. It's your pride that got you in your messed up place. And sin will get worse. Sin never settles. It keeps taking and taking and taking till it will destroy you. Anyone else? Victor, pray for me, please. God bless you, buddy. Anyone else? Father, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your gift of salvation for those who need it here today. And Lord, thank you for the blood that you shed on the cross that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, man, you have cleansed me not only once, many times, for thought, deed, or action, God. I look at those Ten Commandments, and sometimes I just have to weep on how good you've been to me, God, and continue your faithfulness. So, Lord, I pray for those who've indicated their need, that you would cleanse them, make them white as snow, Lord, and let them know they're forgiven, that sin is gone. It's under the blood. They don't have to be condemned. They don't have to walk in. They walk in freedom. Freedom, I pray, for each person here. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for today. It's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.